Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It was good while it lasted, Buffalo. Excited for the next chapter of my football career. Wonder if it's okay to cat ranch now. Oh, eat ranch now. Oh, sorry.
Cat ranch.
I was like, that must just be another thing I don't know about.
Whoa, cat ranch?
Yeah.
Cat ranch.
I just assume I don't get many references.
You don't. We don't. You're like a child. We just have to act like we got to bring you along and act like you know and keep it going.
It didn't even faze me. I mean, the print was very small in my defense. I was trying to read it off a screen and the E looked like a C. But I was just like, cat ranch, whatever. I bet that's a thing. And it probably
it
is.
It probably is somewhere. It is. I mean, in this day and age of craziness, yeah, I'm cat ranch, whatever. There's probably ranches for everything. What's up, man? How you doing? Chris Sims,
good.
Ahmed Fareed, we are here. Chris Sims unbuttoned. It's Monday. It's the 2024 draft.
Oh.
Wide receiver rankings. We got more of that. I know you had a busy week last week.
Oh, my gosh.
You're wearing your gold pants. I always tell people what you're wearing here.
Coming back.
No Notre Dame receivers here in this ranking today.
Close.
So
not
you don't need to wear
radar.
Your pants, okay?
Yeah, that's
all
a
right.
good call.
What's up? You
what
doing
could
good?
This be? I'm okay.
You good?
It was a long week. It was two long days of conference tournaments, A-10.
Okay.
Big Ten, then I had rugby on Saturday,
and
now I'm paying for it.
Yeah, you're worn down and you have a cold, I can tell.
I'm getting over it.
You have a sniffles.
I had it and I powered through the work assignments with it. And now me and my son are a little
down for the count.
But hopefully throughout the process of this podcast, then you'll have it and we can at least share that.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I need because I only fought for four out of the last 7 weeks of like dealing with cold
see,
or
that's
something,
where I got
right?
It. That's where
hopefully
I got it.
Hopefully I gave it to you and I'm immune to it. That's what I'm hoping. We'll see where it went.
I'll make it through.
Good. I know you had a busy week. Good to have you here. I missed you last week. I made fun of you lots last week on the pod.
All right.
I know you didn't listen.
Sign of endearment.
Because you had a busy week. So I was like, I'm going to take a lot of shots at him here.
I got to go back.
I did do that.
I have to go back.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Connor was on. I did see that.
Yeah.
Connor doing a great job as always, tracking all this stuff. I had Connor on a Roto-World fantasy baseball draft.
Right.
He was kind of participating as a mock drafter. And I was like, all right, I'll go to Connor here for his analysis of his first pick. And it was just like this. I was like, does this guy cover fantasy baseball full time? That guy, Connor is like brain.
He's all over baseball for sure.
It's like football. It's like he can drop in and be an expert.
Draft and Mets baseball, he's all over it.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Style and fashion.
Oh, yeah. Got that. That's what I made fun of you for. I just said, I mean, he's got you beat there. Sorry.
I just go colored pants, and that's all I know. I have one pitch. I'm just like a one-pitch pitcher. I'm pumped about this one because this is as many quarterbacks as there are that could potentially be game changers in the first round. I was like, we have even more wide receivers, and that's the case most years and especially the past couple years. But as we go into the draft rankings for 2024, before we get into this class, Chris, let's just take a look back at last year. And we like to point out when you messed up.
Yeah,
you know,
thank you.
What Pete, Matt, and I like to do. It's like, where did Chris screw up the most? And let's just zero in on that. Last year it was very good. You were a little bit against consensus on Zay Flowers. I think he proved a lot of people that he can be a legit number one. I think most people were higher on Jackson Smith and Jigba than you were. He struggled to find his footing until late in the year.
Right.
Quentin Johnson never quite got going.
Never
and kind
did.
Of still a mystery in the NFL circles.
Right.
Michael Wilson at the end of the year got going for Arizona.
I'm a fan of Michael Wilson. It's one of the ones I'm definitely the most proud of, I think, on here, is Michael Wilson.
That's your number one hit.
Zay Flowers, too, because 100%. Jackson Smith and Jigma, and, you know, I know people, you know, sometimes think I'm trying to make a splash or do anything, right? Pete was telling me about a comment on, you know, social media with, like, oh, well, here comes receiver we've never heard about. Like, you know, screw you. You heard about all these receivers last year, and the guy that, you know, you never heard about, Zay Flowers, was better than Jackson Smith and Jigma. So, you know, I'm not sitting here to try to do this because I just think it'll get attention. That's not what my life is about. You know that. I'm just not afraid to go maybe against the consensus and see what I see and believe in that. And, you know, we'll see. Not all of it was right. Not all of it's wrong. We'll see with Quentin Johnson, right? He's certainly up in the air still.
Yeah. What happened there, you think?
Well, Raw, we knew that last year at the TCU. We said that. Remember last year we were kind of talking like he only ran like three routes. It was either go, slant, or shallow cross. That's like all he did, right? He was in a offense and on a team, I think, where they didn't really want him to have to contribute right away. Right, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen were there. They were going to be the guys. I think they drafted him a little bit like, hey, we'll bring him along. He got thrusted into action maybe a little bit before they wanted to, or maybe thrusted more onto his plate. But I'm gonna say this with him, right? I'm not ready to say, oh, I'm wrong about that one yet or anything. Not that type of guy. That type of guy, a lot of times, right, it does take them a little time to kind of get going, you know, to a degree, right? It's a bigger guy. Some of the things that he got to do his whole life and expose, you know, college and high school players against, right? All of a sudden, like, that wasn't a guaranteed advantage in the NFL. Whoa, just because I'm bigger. Whoa, just because I have straight line speed, right, over somebody. Now that doesn't mean I dominate anymore, right? Yeah. So I think there's a little bit of that, right? But I still think he is a good fit, especially for Justin Herbert, who is an incredible covered thrower, right, to the receiver. The receiver's covered, or like putting the ball in spots where only his guy can get it. That's why I think part of the reason they had big receivers with the Chargers. They were like, Herbert can kind of just throw it up here and throw it over the line, and he can seize these guys and put it in spots where like our big guys can get it and nobody else can. Let's not close the book on him quite
totally.
Yet.
Totally. So the top receivers last year, rookie receivers in yardage, Puka Nacua by far number one, breaking records, 1,486.
Incredible.
Nobody saw that coming.
Definitely not.
Except for the Rams, maybe. You see some of those videos, and they're talking about him. He's not going to test well. He's not going to show up at the combine, but you look at the tape. He's awesome. And I know you did look at the tape of him last year. How did he – and for a lot of this, it is situation, of course, right? Yeah. Quarterback scheme, how you're used. Right. But how did he blow up to that extent after flying under the radar for everyone in the draft process?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. You don't know the human, right? You know, sometimes the size and strength translates to the game, the NFL game, maybe better than it even showed in college football. You know, oh, he gets around somebody that teaches him a few things about route running, like a Cooper Kupp or whatever. He starts to realize, like, oh, wait, if I have to run every route like this. And, you know, I think guys' games improve, let alone being in a perfect situation, right? And I think a guy that fit exactly what their offense wanted and needed. So I think it was all a blend of everything. Where I missed is certainly like maybe not taking into consideration his size enough and the explosive ability. That to me was the thing that I did not see on film, but obviously people in person saw it and went, ooh, whoa, it's better than you think, right? So that's what scared me. But I think that's where, you know, hey, there's going to be guys here where, I'm going to have in the top five, but there's a bunch of guys that we'll name after honorable mentions where I'm going to go, well, I'm scared that this guy could have better stats than some of these guys in the top five year one, right? You know, you get into the Tank Dells, the Josh Downs from last year, right? Nobody, not going to make them a top five receiver in the draft, right?
Well, only Amon Reed and Tank Dell. You know, no big deal.
No big deal. Seriously, that was a great call by you. But I think, you know, generally football people that are not going to make them top five, because you look at, you know, top five guys usually are the guys guys you can go, wait, they have something I'm really elite about them, and I know I can line them outside, and they can beat the top corners in football, right? Where, you know, guys like Downs or Tank Dell, you weren't sure, their size, right? All those, and of course, they proved me wrong and a lot of people wrong. But I think also, you know, the fit of where they were is crucial. And again, being an offense that, ooh, we know how to use the slot receiver, and we have some pretty good receivers outside, that doesn't make, you know, a defense be able to go all in on stopping you. They got to respect the other things. And I think that's where, you know, the game is different, and there's a niche for those Amon-Ra St. Brown type of players.
Sure.
Where you go, yeah, he's not a superstar in the sense of A.J. Brown, you know, Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase.
Doesn't have that gravitational pull.
He's not going to get a slant and run for 70, yeah, right? But damn, he's going to get a lot of 12 and 20 and 15 and 8, like unbelievable routes and understanding coverages and all that, and dominate the NFL that way. But you also got to be in an offense that knows how to use that guy too. Yeah. And not all offenses are as good as others as far as finding the niche for that guy.
No, the reason that Tank Dell worked out for me is because he's like my type. I like those smaller receivers,
sure,
jitterbugs.
Right.
I don't know.
No,
I just like
I
watching them. I like the way they play, especially if they throw some physicality in there too. I'm like, that's my guy.
Right.
So what about you? Who is your guy as we evaluate these prospects again this year? What are the traits you're looking at the most? Like, what's your style?
Right.
And has anything changed from last year?
I don't know if anything's, you know, my style is, I think everybody knows my style. I tend to go with the guys that are physically freaky, right? That is what I do, right? I tend to look for explosive ability and what I always say, elite traits. Traits where I go, ooh, that's really special. And he can build on that. And, oh, wait, he's got a weakness here, but this elite trait will allow him time to, you know, continue to grow in some of the weaker areas or whatever else. But, yeah, explosive ability, what they do after the catch, the route running, you know, the size is, of course, a part of
sure.
that. And
I would say
that whole thing is a big part of the equation.
I would say route running for you, maybe other people have that higher than you do.
Yeah,
you were
yes.
lower on Jerry
right.
Jeudy, and one of the big the proponents on Jerry Jeudy would say that he's one of the best, if not the best, route runner in the game that they've
yeah.
seen the last couple of years.
Right. It's overrated.
You didn't put as much stock into that.
No, and I think it's something that can be worked on and you can get better. So I think people get downgraded too quickly, right? Where, again, this is, it goes back to the DK Metcalf, AJ Brown draft, where they're like, well, he doesn't run the full route tree. And I just want to be like, well, he's like the freakiest fucking guy in the draft. I'm pretty sure he can go to the line and make a right-hand turn.
Yeah.
Just give him a few times to work on it and it'll be good, right? So I think there's too much on that. That's where I would say. And, yes, like, all I heard when I used to make Tyreek Hill the number one receiver in football, I'd be like, oh, you can't run any routes. Now he's a great route runner. He's had time to work on it. He's gotten better at it, of course, right? But, you know, the big thing still for a lot of the top receivers in football, right, is still predicated on one thing. The fear and scare of, oh, shit, he's about to run by me. Right, so I better get the fuck out of here and backpedal or turn and run. Oh, shit, he put the brakes on and now he's open. Right? You don't need to be the greatest route runner in the world to do that. Right? You don't need to be the greatest route runner in the world to go, wait, I'm going to be in the slot and we want you to run across the field 30 yards to the numbers over there. You don't need to be fucking Jerry Rice to pull that off. Right? You got great speed, physicality, you know, a little leaning of the body, you're just moving the defender a little bit, you're going to be open, let alone those are worked on traits, right? So I'm more in favor of, yes, the guy that's a little bit more physical freaky that maybe needs, you know, some room to grow in the route area, I go over that guy or I prefer that guy rather than the guy that's, oh my gosh, it's the greatest routes I've ever seen, right? But damn, he hasn't beat anybody deep all year long. He never pulls away from anybody. He catches a slant and he gets 4 yards every time after he catches the ball, right? You know, I like all of that. I get it. But that's not to me the guy I'm going to go, oh, he's top five in the draft or top 10 or top two receiver for me in my rankings. No. And again, the guys we're talking about is the best receivers in football. This is where, you know, to me, it gets, you know, every now and then we have an Amon-Ra St. Brown and a Tank Dell and that kind of guy too,
yeah.
But I still don't think anybody would put them in the top receiver of football conversation.
Wouldn't
right?
be the first guy you'd take.
No, it wouldn't be the first guy I take. And the guys that we talk about as the best receivers in football, again, it's like we talk about quarterbacks, the greatest quarterbacks of all times. They had like really strong arms and they had like freaky traits for the most part, right? Same thing with the receivers.
Randy Moss wasn't like, I'm in the playbook studying hard. That's why I got better as a player. No, it wasn't that. It was because he ran fucking 4-1 and he was 6'5". That's why. All right? Calvin Johnson was, he does a lot of protein shakes. That's what got him over the edge. Like, no, he's a
robot.
Freak. Exactly.
A robot.
Exactly. He's Megatron.
Yeah.
Right. A.J. Brown, right? Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, right? Who else am I missing? D.J. Moore.
Yeah.
Right? Those guys, you know what? They're physical freaks. They are freaks, right? And it starts with, wait, you got to respect my explosive ability. And that's the number one thing that gets those guys open. So that's why sometimes I think the route running thing is overrated to a degree. Don't get me wrong. You need it. And it's certainly a great skill to have. And we've seen guys like, you know, Davante Adams, who might not be the most explosive, my type of guy ever. He's made an incredible living and is awesome at crossing people up and running great routes and attacking their leverages and knowing where the coverage is and all that, right? It's just not always my number one cup of tea, right?
Yeah. So those number one guys stand out for sure. But there is a little bit of an element, Pete, and I don't know if we have the year that some of these top wide receivers were taken, but there is a little bit of an element to wide receiver is that you mentioned Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyreek Hill, and of course there's off-field
AJ
concerns
Brown, Debo
with some
Samuel,
of these players,
DK Metcalf.
But size concerns, and so here were the most productive wide receivers last year, and Tyreek was at the top there, taken in the fifth round. Then you got Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, both round one guys, Keenan Allen, round three, Amon-Ra, round four, Puka, round five, Nico Collins, former Michigan wide receiver, round three, and so you can find these guys throughout the draft, especially if there's a deep class. And from what I understand, and you knew this even before you started looking at all the players, this is an incredibly deep wide receiver class.
Incredibly.
Now,
incredibly.
I feel like we've said that the last couple of years. Is this one even deeper in your mind?
It's every bit up there with the last few years. Again, this goes into our whole conversation is, again, are we going to see the devaluing of wide receivers happen and maybe being a little bit of a, you know, commodities that aren't as in demand because there's so many good ones coming out every year. But yeah, this is, to me, got it all, this class, from what I saw, right? I'm going to say I watched the top 20 guys or so, and so there might be some guys that are in the sixth and seventh round that maybe I didn't see or whatever, but I know from the group, but I saw, crap, I'm in. You know, again, it's a year where I certainly could see it. I'll say it after, but there's guys where I go, I could see this guy next year having 90 catches. He's not in my top five. In fact, he's not in my top seven or eight, but he might have 90 catches next year for 1,000 yards. Like, I could totally see him. His skill set, how he plays, it fits in the NFL. And there for certain offenses, we know, like you were talking about with those guys earlier, if they know how to use them, they get in that position, they can tear it up. But, yeah, there's depth, and there's a little bit of everything to be had here in this draft, too. Again, it's a lot of freaks, there's size, and there's tons of your jitterbugs to play the slot and get open there, too.
Ice Trey Buckets wants to know, how many wide receivers do you think are going to go in the first round?
Ooh.
So how many first round wide? We're going to do a top five. Yeah. We did a top five. We'll, of course, talk about the ones who were close, an honorable mention. But are we in a year where we will see, just go on talent, from what you saw, first round talents?
Like, I think if I had to set an over and under, it'd be like right around five, four and a half, somewhere in there, right? You know, I feel like the top five receivers we have on this list, right? Like, four are definitely going first round, for sure, right? The guy I have is fifth. I think it's a first round talent, right? But does he end up early second, somewhere in there? I don't know, right? So that's the question, right? And I probably have a guy or two that most people have in their top five that I go, no, he's not my top five. He's like six or seven for me, right? Where, again, I would go, I wouldn't be shocked if this guy, he's got some traits that are special. I wouldn't be shocked if he went at the end of the first round. You know, I don't look at him as that type of talent, but I wouldn't be shocked. So, I mean, yeah, four, six, I mean, it could be anywhere in there. But I think I would set the line at like four and a half if I was really going to make it interesting.
Make it difficult.
Yeah, make it difficult for the betting public.
Why would you do that?
Yeah,
many of our homies are the betting public. Why would you make it so hard? I'm going to make it over one half. And so you will win easily your bet on this one because there are several wide receivers who could go in the first round here. Let's get to the list now.
Okay.
It is a top five. We're going one through five. So all the homies that want to go five through one, sorry, you got to wait another position ranking. Perhaps you have to wait until next year or never again. Tier one, you have two wide receivers in tier one. And this is the explosive wide receiver one tier.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're calling this. Explosive wide receiver one. Can take the ball, change a game. This guy could be your hero in a game.
Right.
So your number one wide receiver in the 2024 draft wide receiver rankings for Chris Sims is
Malik Nabers from LSU. Malik Nabers is an incredible wide receiver. I mean, here would be my base headline of Malik Nabers. I mean, best route runner, best explosion and speed, best yak, right? The dude is a star, right? And he could be the best Z, the best X, or the best slot jitterbug in the draft, right? There's no weakness to Malik Nabers. The only thing you can go is, I wish he was 6'3", like some of the other guys, right? That's the only thing. But again, he's 6 foot, he's 200 pounds, right? And he's along the guys of like what I talk about all the time. He's Jamar Chase-ish coming out, DJ Moore-ish coming out, right? Can catch a slant and go for 70, can go, oh, you want to press me and play bump man-to-man, see you later, I'm out of here. I'm going to throw a bomb for, they're going to throw a bomb to me for 70, right? Or I can run an intricate, like, post corner post or you know, just a normal post corner and run it like a high level NFL football player. That's where it starts. But has that body, Ahmed, of what I talk about sometimes of like a receiver kind of in a running back's body, right? Like a almost a Tony Pollard type build, a little taller, right? But it's got some muscle to him. Able to take contact at the line of scrimmage, able to take contact down the field and not be affected by it. Might be running a 20-yard out route, right? Guy's kind of bumping on him or pulling on his shoulder, right? Because he's afraid he's about to pull away from him. It doesn't really affect him. So he plays with all that. But when you talk again about the things that I love, twitchy as hell, acceleration out of this world, Jamar Chase type of stuff, except a better route runner than Jamar Chase was coming out of college, wow. Right? That's where I was absolutely blown away. I mean, it's special from that standpoint. It jumps off the screen. And I didn't, you know, I watched Nabers probably fourth or fifth out of the group, like, as I went through it. And, I mean, just right away, I was like, whoa. I didn't realize he can accelerate like that. Whoa. Holy cow, he can explode out of the break here. That is, to me, what really caught my eye at first. And then everything else started to follow that. Like I said, whether it was the playmaking ability, it plays bigger than a 6 foot size.
Sure.
Really can do a good job of, like, you know, we'll talk about other guys boxing people out downfield, shielding him with his body, playing the ball in the air and making the proper adjustments. He makes some incredible acrobatic catches, right? So, yeah, Malik Nabers, I am very comfortable with. I think he's a star. I really do. He's explosive. A playmaking superstar wide receiver that you know I love a whole lot.
You know, I normally watch these guys, the highlights of these guys.
Right.
But this year, I dove into the tape.
I know you did. I was shocked. Ahmed was texting me yesterday, and he was throwing out stuff where I was like, what? Like, that doesn't sound like you just, like, BS'd and read somebody's, like, report.
No.
You had eyes on it.
Can't take other people's
word
for it.
No wonder you got a cold and you're a little worn down.
Too much work.
You're a grinder right now.
Too much in that seat going over the game tape. So, for Malik Nabers, I think those two things you said are pretty obvious when you watch him.
Yeah.
And all of his great plays especially is that he can plant the foot and he's like, he's gone. He separates and he's in the SEC too, so you figure those
everybody
DBs
you're
probably
seeing him
have
against
speed.
Exactly right.
But also forces a lot of missed tackles, plays with physicality, so can do both of those
no
things.
No doubt, right? That's where that running back build, he runs through a lot of arm tackles, right? Makes cuts, people are right there. They think they got a hold of him, he breaks through it, right? You know, those to me are things that definitely translate to the NFL. We know speed and explosion do, right? But the game's going to be tighter in the NFL. The guys are better. Right? You know, can you play with a little physicality, the bump and running, you know, the bump and grind when you're running routes downfield or breaking tackles? That's big, and he does that. Keep going. Wax poetically more.
So that was all. That was it. I've exhausted all of it. So normally this is just film for you. You base it all on film.
Right.
But you did actually get to meet this guy.
I did.
When you were out at the combine, and you guys talked with Mike Florio, and Malik self-scouted thyself.
He did.
You asked him to self-scout thyself,
And
this is what he had to tell you guys.
What I'm good at, you know, my body control and balance, really going up and attack the ball, speed guy, acceleration after the catch.
Right.
Good at a point of contact, good at creating space for myself. Obviously, you know, I go against a lot of DB, especially since I'm outside and inside, so I'm pretty good at, you know, getting open at any DB that's on the field, really.
All right, and then what do you got to work on? What's the thing that you got?
Things I got to work on is just using my hands at the beginning point of contact.
Line of scrimmage.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And just being more cleaner coming out of my routes.
Okay, so you know what? Malik's watched the tape too. I'm not alone here. That was pretty self-aware on what he has to do. Did you see his weaknesses show up on tape?
What was the last one he said there?
Oh, yeah, what was it?
It was, I couldn't quite getting hear it. It broke up on me. Getting cleaner out of breaks? Is that what he said?
I think so, yeah, getting
right?
out. Yeah,
yeah, which he's pretty damn clean. And he knows, again, he knows it's the NFL. He's going to be different, dealing with a different animal when it comes to battles at the line of scrimmage with bump and run corners, right?
Yeah.
These are people that, of course, are, you know, a step up in competition, and they're very nuanced, as you know, pros, whatever. Yeah, they're all over receiver technique, and, ooh, he does this, so I'm ready for it. So you got to be extremely detailed and technique-oriented in those areas as well, right? But, like,
he's still very young, too, which is crazy. He's 20. He turns
right.
21 in July. He's been a stud basically forever. Played as a true freshman at LSU in 2021. In 22, became a full-time starter. Unanimous All-American last year, leading the country in receiving yards, even though we don't need to look at stats to know how good of a player he is. And I think a lot of the community, it's funny, it's like you're like, oh, he's shooting up draft boards right now. And he was not even a top 20 player if you look back at the November mock drafts, and I think this is funny, and you pointed this out to me, is like, yeah, because no one in the NFL was really looking at tape yet, and then once people started looking at tape, then they realized,
and
it's like,
people
wow,
saw the draft community starts to go, wait, the guy that I talked to in the Bears organization said Malik Nabers is the top receiver on their board, or yeah, whatever, right? That and all of a sudden it catches on.
Yeah, and they go, we in the draft community, us journalists, decided he was 20, so I don't know what's going with these Bears people have, what they're thinking here. So yeah, so he's shot up, but people clearly have started to see some of these things. Lance Zierlein says, quote, Nabers' gliding movements and speed alterations seem to disguise the top-end speed and separation potential that await opposing coverages.
There's no doubt. He, right, and I'll say Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, were the best at changing speeds, right? Like, hey, coming off real hard, then kind of like gliding and like, oh, the DB relaxes, and then boom, they hit it real hard again and make a move and cut somewhere, right? Setting up DBs that way. But I look at Nabers and then just go, man, there's nothing there to look at. That's a weakness, right? I mean, we know he can be a burner, jitterbug, awesome, physical, right? He's the best route runner in the draft. He's strong with the ball in his hands. Like you said, he runs hard. He's the best at getting off the ball versus bump to bump, you know, bump and run, man-to-man releases, right? He's the best there. He's, I'm not going to say the best with back shoulders and contested catches, but he's really good. He's right up there at the top in the conversation, right? And then you add all that into the incredible route runner,
yeah,
right? And the only thing that you look at negatively is go, well, I wish maybe he was 6'3", but I don't think really it's going to matter in the long run with the way he jumps, the strength he has, and his natural instincts in playing the football the right way. Yet to me, he is a can't-miss superstar type number one receiver, game changer.
One potential negative that PFF pointed out or noted was that he can stand to be a little more aggressive at the catch point, fewer body catches there. Playing physical at 6'6", 200 pounds, I guess, is kind of like your similar point here too. He can stand to those contested 50-50 balls.
Yeah, right. There's going to be some of those that, you know, some of the other big receivers probably have an advantage of them. But for a guy that's 6 foot, there's a number of plays where you go, damn, that was – wow, I mean, that was a good job, right? You know, the DB was kind of all over him. The quarterback put it in the spot, and he knew how to play it, use his body the right way, grab it that way. You know, the hands thing, I really love his hands. His ability to track the deep ball or do anything like that is phenomenal, right? I think the one thing they're probably talking about is, yeah, being a little bit more, as I talk about, snatch the ball out of the air, right? That's to me, it's sometimes he can do this, right? Instead of just being like, before the ball gets there, just grab it with your hands and rip it out of the air so you can run. And, you know, yeah, if you are getting hit in the back, it quickens it up by a thousandth of a second, whatever, and takes away that boom, boom, knock the ball out type of play.
This comes from a non-named AFC personnel executive.
Okay.
Ooh, the non-named scout. These can be bad sometimes. We're getting into that part of the season here. This is from NFL.com. Quote, Ja'Marr Chase was more of a dude physically, and Justin Jefferson was already really skilled when he came out, but you can see some flashes of both of those guys with the way that Nabers plays.
It is very interesting combination of the two, right? Jefferson was really nuanced, good route runner, knew how to set people up, and was way more explosive than people gave him credit for, right? I mean, that's why I made him the number two receiver that year, if you remember, over guys like Jerry Jeudy, because I was like, man, there's plenty of film watching this guy run by people. What's everybody talking about, right? But it wasn't like crazy explosion, right? Ja'Marr Chase was a little bit like the opposite of Justin Jefferson, where you're like, it's crazy explosion. He doesn't quite have the nuance in running the routes and doing that. Neighbors has got a little bit of the combination of both. I'm not going to say he's as nuanced as route running as Justin Jefferson is, but he's really close to it. And as far as the explosion with Ja'Marr Chase, again, it's really close to it. I maybe would give Ja'Marr Chase a little bit of an edge there, but it's not by much. So that's where I look at Neighbors and I look at it and go, wow, you got like the best of all three worlds here with this guy, right? You can get him off the line of scrimmage, bring him in motion, and he can run, you know, intricate type of what I call Z routes, where you might fake the shallow cross and then come back out, do stuff like that, right? You can line him up at X and just go, hey, we need you over here like the Bengals do with Ja'Marr Chase. They're either going to W, or if it's man-to-man, we'll throw it to you, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. Or they can go, hey, get in the slot and do some Wes Welker, Julian Edelman stuff and read the coverage and be that jitterbug you talked about. And I think he's got all of that in his game, man. He's I loved watching him. I really did.
He is a game changer
game
for you.
Changer,
number
no
one,
doubt.
Explosive wide receiver. Yep. Your number one wide receiver in the 2024 draft class.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Now, in the same tier,
yes,
this man too,
right,
is an explosive wide receiver, number one. Your number two wide receiver in this year's draft class is?
We're staying at LSU.
Oh, my.
It's Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. Yes. I mean, where do I start? First off, has the size and look that you would expect from a guy that's top 10, top 12 in the draft conversation, right? I think that's where it starts. But then after that, when you get into, you know, the look of the player, the body, I mean, it's a specimen, right? He's got a look of A.J. Brown to him and me. And maybe not quite as thick as A.J. Brown, right? But a similar look and maybe even a hair more of a speed look. Right off the bat, right? The speed is elite. It's legit every bit to what his combine numbers say, 4.33, right? With, I believe it was, what, a 1.50 10-yard split? All that matches up, everybody. He is every bit that explosive, if not even more, right? Now, getting off the line of scrimmage, jump cuts, you know, doing any of that, releases are phenomenal. And the ability to get on top of DBs or run by them is as good as anybody in the draft. It might be better than Malik Nabers, because when he opens up, man, does he cover a lot of ground because of his size, right? You know, after the catch, he's angry. I mean, again, him and Neighbors, to me, where they separate themselves, when they catch the ball, they are looking to score every time. Doesn't matter what it is. I caught a five-yard route. I think I can make this guy miss and go up the sideline for 70, right? You know, I caught a slant. I think I can run up the middle here and split these safeties and go for 70. That's where they're both different in my ability. So his ability to stack receiver DBs when he gets down the field. The releases are phenomenal. And then for a bigger guy that's 6'3", 209 pounds, right, and can run the way he can, one, knows how to change speed, but two, really can stick his foot in the ground and cut, right? It's not like Malik Neighbors, because Malik Neighbors is like put it on a reel type stuff at times, right? This guy, though, still, for the bigger receivers that we're talking about and this explosive type of guy, man, he has still got the ability to be a great route runner. He is a very good route runner. He needs to learn a little nuance, if I'm going to be picky here, about how to attack leverages, maybe how to lean a DB one way and set him up a little bit sometimes, right? That's something where, like, again, Marvin Harrison Jr. has a little bit of an advantage of him in that area. But, you know, the rest of the department, man, when we're talking about, again, explosive acceleration, 50-50 balls, right? And then the intermediate route running is all really top-notch, let alone knowing how to use his body and shield people and catch the jump balls. I mean, I don't know how much you watched, but I know if you watched, you saw him run by people, and you saw him catching jump balls where you were like, wow, that, you know, shit, Jaden just threw that up there, and he just went up and got it. Yeah. You see all of that, right, when you watch his film.
The impressive ones, for sure. I think there were 34 contested catches for Brian Thomas this past year that PFF noted. He did catch 14, but dropped 20 of them. There are some where you're just like, oh, I would.
Yeah, I wish he would have played that.
The drops are just like, you are 6'3", 200 pounds. I thought you would come down with that, and you didn't. Maybe part of his game he's still working on, but the traits are there, and we've seen that since his high school days. He was a basketball star in high school. His first football game ever, he was a sophomore, four catches, 278 yards and three touchdowns. So they knew right away what they had. The Decagon proves that from the combine. So we have gone to the Decagon, and I always like when a player has a Decagon. That means that he was secure enough in his ability to crush the Decagon. And that is what he has done, as it is basically 89, 90s. The 40-yard dash was a 94. Vertical jump was an 82 percentile. Broad jump, basically the 80th percentile. The one thing he did not excel at, bench press.
Damn.
Did he even do
it?
He did bench press.
He did do it. He did it 19 times.
So his bench. He needs to become an elite player. He needs to get those bench reps.
Well, that's just for his other wide receivers.
Yes.
Wow. I'm surprised. I mean, damn, receivers were killing, I guess, the bench press there.
They're like, this is
year.
The one thing we can beat him on. Let's go.
Let's do it. To me, he made the right decision there, right? He was the guy that needed to work out. He was the guy, and again, remember I said this right after the combine. If it's not for Xavier Worthy running 4.21, Brian Thomas Jr. was going to be the guy we all talked about on the Monday after the combine. Because to be 2.10 and 4.33 and the vertical he had and everything along to go along with it and the day he had, he would have stole the show. All right, so that hurt him a little bit as far as Xavier Worthy, but he's the type of guy that should have worked out, right? He's the guy that, like, yes, he knows he's a freak of nature, and he opened up eyes within doing that and put everybody on notice to, like, draft experts, guys who are working in organizations that haven't watched on film yet. They go, damn, I don't know. I haven't turned that guy on, but he certainly looks the part being from LSU. He fucking runs by everybody.
He does.
Okay? That's the biggest thing.
Watch the Florida game.
Exactly. He's a weapon. He's a game changer. You give him reverses. You can give him toss sweeps, and he could go to the house, right? He's change of direction ability for a guy his size and his fast is really impressive. Like you talked about with Neighbors, breaks a lot of arm tackles, making cuts in traffic, and people fall off of him, right? The body control is incredible. And then he's extremely twitchy for a guy his size, right? You know, there's other guys in the draft here that are slot receivers that we call the jitterbugs, and I go, I watched that jitterbug, and everybody's calling him a jitterbug, and this big fucking big bug over here is more jittery than they are, right? So that's where I look at it. Size, speed, twitch, you know, explosion, yak, ability to stick the foot in the ground, all are, like, really incredible. The ability to explode off the line of scrimmage, gear it down to maybe look like he's about to run a 12-yard or 15-yard comeback, and then put the pedal to the metal again and take off on a double move, or just get the DB to like think I might be sitting on an underneath route, right? And then to take off. There's nobody better in the draft than he is at that. I mean, there's nobody. He can go, oh, God, he's about to run a curl route, and all of a sudden it looks like he's about to break down, and then he takes off, and you're like, whoa, right? That's where he is special. Got another gear. He is a specimen, and yes, he is my number two wide receiver.
He is a projected top 20 pick now, but much like Malik Nabers, he has shot up.
He's
here. He was not
up.
Even in the top 50 in November mock drafts, which is crazy to think about it. It's like that LSU defense and the fact that they were no good probably kept these two guys under the radar for more of the season than they would have been otherwise. They were not playing in those high-profile games to make the college football playoff. A couple comments from the other scouts out there. NFL.com's Lance Zierlein says, still needs to improve intermediate routes, play a little more physically when crowded, so in those tight areas. And PFF has a not-a-make-you-miss type of receiver after the catch. So I guess they're saying he's physical and can break tackles.
That. Yeah.
But not a necessarily...
I mean, some of the guys, think it's pretty damn good. I mean, there's enough plays where I go, well, he caught this ball, he made this guy miss, and he's running up the sidelines for 40 yards, right? I mean, there's plenty of that. So, you know, I think that's a little bit better than people realize. The thing where, you know, I think the NFL game is going to benefit him in a lot of ways, and one is really, I mean, it's go routes, it's six-yard hitch routes, and it's a shallow cross and a slant. I mean, that's really all he runs for the most part.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, again, you'd like to see more along those lines. But when you piece it all together, whether he's running routes or with the ball in his hands, I have no doubt about his ability to do all of that. And, you know, the intermediate route stuff, gosh, I had no problem with it. Again, it might have not been textbook out of the book, but I didn't look at it and go, oh, wow, he really had a – you know, or take a lot of extra steps to break in on the 20-yard in cut. None of that. Maybe some of it could have been a little bit more precise. But, yeah, you know, at times I think they just roll it in there and go get in there and get in the spot where he can find you and throw the football. I see plenty of ability in that department.
All right, let's let the homies chime in here. Mighty Chaos 41 says, I like that he's a star wide receiver that has no reservations to block downfield on screens and in the run game. That wide receiver coach needs to get paid. All those LSU wide receivers block.
Well, he loves to show his ability. He loves to show his physicality. And then if somebody breaks open, he loves to run them down and give you that last extra block to get you in the end zone, right? That's what he's.
I love that.
Because he's a freak. He knows those are times where he's like, wait, I can show everybody watching on film and on TV, I'm the fastest fucking guy out here. So why don't you run down this guy that everybody thinks is fast and give one more block for him to go in the end zone? But yeah, I'm with you. I love that too.
Is there a chance that you just really like the LSU jersey? Because you had Ja'Marr Chase, number one. You had Justin Jefferson,
number two.
You love Joe Burrow's tape, one of the best you'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, your number one quarterback. Is there
number
a chance,
two quarterback.
Or yeah, that's right, yeah. Number two quarterback.
Yep.
Is there a chance that you just really like watching
I do love their jerseys. I
go
love
down
their
the
unis.
Field.
Their unis are definitely in the top
you
five
see that,
of college
you're like
football.
Elite player, immediately.
they're one of those... For LSU is one of those schools, for whatever reason, since I was a kid, they always have a few freaks on the football team. No, always, right? They might have gone through a dry period like in the 90s a little bit where they fell off.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you got to Nick Saban, early 2000s in that era, it feels like they got a freaky DB or a freaky wide receiver almost every year.
Yeah.
I do like their unis, but these guys live up to the unis, right? This is as a duo, better than OBJ and Jarvis Landry,
ooh.
Right? Okay.
At LSU.
And I will say it rivals Ja'Marr Chase and Justin
Dang.
Jefferson. I'm not going to say it's because those fucking guys are amazing. You know that. But it rivals them. It does do that.
I can tell you're on the borderline there. You're like, it's
I like these guys
close.
A lot. I do. I really do.
So I would ask you a follow-up to that then.
Yeah.
Does this give you any reservation about your love of Jaden Daniels? Because
no,
obviously you saw those guys on the
right.
tape and you knew they were freaky, but it certainly makes playing quarterback a whole lot easier when you have two guys
yeah,
like this.
Yeah, he still makes a lot of good throws, and just like every great receiver, they're not wide open all the time, right? There's plenty of plays where you go, well, that's a tight window. He had to throw it in there, right? So, no. I know we have that, and that's where you got to decipher through it, right? I've had guys where we had Tua in 1 year where I went, people are wide open and the talent's great and there's just not as enough of those high-level throws that I like. Joe Burrow with his year, yeah, Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson were open a lot, but there was like 4,000 other throws where it was tight as hell, or how the hell did you read the play that quick and how'd you put that ball perfectly right there in that spot to tell me it doesn't matter if they'd separate a lot or whatever. I've seen enough here to know this guy can do it, right? That's where you got to maybe trust a guy like me that's been around it my whole life and trust that I'm looking into that type of nuance, right? Where, yeah, Alabama and Tua, I was saying, ooh, this window's kind of tight. Ooh, he didn't want to throw that in there, or he didn't have the control to throw it exactly where he needed to, right? So I don't know if I love that. Oh, it's wide open. Yeah, he hit it. Right, okay. But that's what I was here for. It's what I was here for to say, hey, Justin Herbert, nobody was open that same year, right? He's better than Tua. It's just nobody is open, everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody, right? So I'm here to kind of sift through the bullshit that, let's say, that's out there. Not that I'm always right, but, you know, again, I've been around it, and you know I'm obsessed with it.
What's harder for you? Because I never really thought of it this way. Is it harder to evaluate a player who's amongst other great players, or is it harder to evaluate a great player on, like, a bad team?
Yeah, it's more times I feel like that.
Yeah.
That's harder, right? Because sometimes they just are not afforded the opportunities or not in spots where you can show yourself the right way, right? Puka, I think, was probably a part of that a little bit, right? Just his last year, they weren't great on offense. They didn't have a great quarterback, right? So I think some of that hurt him and probably is what led to my misevaluation and other people, you know? So, yeah, that's more open field and all that, you get to see
a bigger canvas for
a
them
canvas
to
work with. Their greatest artistry but is.
We just identified some money ball for you.
Yeah.
When you become a GM,
yeah,
go to all those crappy teams, go to the Vanderbilts, and just find their best player. And it's like, he can do. He ends the year with 200 yards receiving, but he's the next Puka Nacua. Perhaps that's it. All right, so that's your tier one.
Yeah.
Tier one is closed.
Yeah.
Those were your explosive wide receiver ones. Tier two, there's just one man in tier two. And the title to this one is No Bust NFL Ready.
Yeah.
So this guy is ready to go. Bust potential very low, but for you, tier two, that wide receiver is
Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. And like, let me get this straight too, just to make this comment, right? Because I know most people go, oh, you know, you put him at three, whatever. It's what I believe, but I really like this player. A little bit like the quarterbacks, right? There's been other years, even at the receiver position, where I've gone, I like the top two or three guys, but 4 and 5, I mean, yeah, I got to make a 4 and 5 for the list or whatever, but I don't love them, right? I'm not in love with it, right?
Marvin Harrison would have been one last year ahead of Zay Flowers, yes or no?
Yes, he would have. He would have. Exactly right. Marvin Harrison's one, I think, in a good amount of years, right? And Marvin Harrison, and like I was saying here just before that, I like all these guys we're going to talk about today. Like, I don't look at any of them and go, ooh, I'm not sure, or I see this, but like, no, I have no doubts here. I mean, this is a really damn good football player, and every bit worthy of this top 10, top 15 conversation. Now, yeah, I don't think he is the physical, you know, beast or freak that the other two guys are on the explosive aspect of the position, right?
Are you talking about speed here? Or?
Yeah, speed, ability to get off the ball and accelerate and get on top of DBs right away, right? It's not bad. Again, don't get me wrong. He can do it, but he can't do it at the consistency and the success level Neighbors or Brian Thomas can. Like, Brian Thomas and Neighbors, if it's man-to-man, it was like, if they got a go route, they're going to run by the guy and it's going to be a touchdown, right? It was like, it wasn't like, oh, he might get by. Marvin Harrison, so much good, but with stuff like that, yeah, there was plenty of plays where it was like, well, now he's not going to get around this guy. And he knows it. He's not even going to try, right? You know, his speed is of not that caliber, but it's still good speed. And, of course, the size is awesome. His ability to catch the ball and get up the field is really impressive. I mean, it's like seamless. He doesn't waste a second, right? You know, he's got good size. He plays with really good play strength, right? He knows how to use his size to his advantage, right? Talking about the adjusting to balls, boxing people out, go routes, shielding them all, doing all that, right? You know, he wins almost every physical battle as far as 50-50 jump balls or even like DBs that are PI-ing him or holding him down the field. He fights through it and still gets awesome. He's got tremendous body control, which leads into what we're talking about, the 50-50 jump balls. It's incredible. I mean, it really is. And then, hey, where he's got an advantage over a guy like Bryant, like, so I don't think he's as physically gifted at running the routes as Brian Thomas, right? Like, I don't think he can explode out. I don't think he can break down. I don't think he can cut at as precise level as Brian Thomas can, right? So just as a route runner that way, I like Brian Thomas more. But I do think he's a better nuanced route runner. And what I mean by that is this. One, he knows how to play with the DB and according to how the defense is, right? You always hear me say he knows how to attack leverages, right? So he really knows how to push the DB to a spot, right, according to the route he's running. Ooh, you know, this DB doesn't want me to go this way, so he's really overplaying not to let me go that way. Let me bring him over there even farther, and then as soon as I get him to an uncomfortable spot, boom, I'm going to hit the brakes and come back out, right? That's where he's really good. Or changing the speed of his routes again. Another guy. He's kind of gliding. Oh, he's going to run the deep crossing route. He kind of just going to stride me out and run. And all of a sudden, boom, he hits it real hard and comes back out and breaks out and runs a corner route, right? So that's where he's really good. There's no doubt about it. And he is, you know, I think still got room to be a better route runner. I think that'll happen. And I just think ultimately what it is, and you know me, it's the explosive ability. It's the plays after the catch that are not – well, yes, right, because you're going to go, I know you watched, and you're going to go, yeah, they're not on the same level as the other two guys with the ball in his hands.
So as you know, I don't know if I mentioned this, I watch film, too.
You do watch film. Guys. You're Ron Jaworski.
I was grinding through the tape as well. And I saw him a lot in the Big Ten. We covered him. He was a big play receiver. Not a whole lot of dynamic offenses in the Big Ten this past year, kind of stood out in comparison. And I do note that, as you can see, some of these plays, I mean, there's the body position.
That's what I mean. He's great at all of this. He really is, right? You know, you see the route running there, right? There's some extra steps at times that you don't love, right? Here's again, without a great job, wins every physical battle. Can we remind that play, though, right?
I don't think we have that capability.
Okay, well, if we, they can do it. They can do it. Look at that.
Of course, Kristen can do it.
And everything. But even there, like, you know, hey, look at bump man to man. Right, like you watch Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. in these, like this is see you later. Like they're gonna go right by you. He's almost playing for. Ooh, he's gonna throw me the jump ball or back shoulder ball. Right, he knew he wasn't gonna explode by the guy. You know, and there's definitely more of that. Right, as far as not being able to stack the guy or scare the guy with his speed and back them off, as compared to the other two. Let alone that plays into our, you know, yards after catch thing, where I think that's where you're going.
That was not, where I was going to take the conversation. Yeah. But first of all, I need to apologize to Kristen. I didn't know we had the capability of going back, taking one play and doing it in slow motion as well.
Man, I mean, we're I should never heard, doubt. We're WNBC.
Should never doubt Kristen there.
We're WNBC. So that was don't even know that movie either. I know.
I know. I told you before. Out there, Cat Ranch, something like that.
You're funny.
So in watching the tape of it, obviously, I'm looking for the plays after the catch, too, because I just like that part of the game. Do you break a tackle? Do you run? Do you score a touchdown afterwards?
Right.
And you watch the tape. There are basically none of those type plays for Marvin Harrison.
Get some shallow crosses where, like, nobody's on him and he might catch it and then kind of just turn
upfield.
So the run
after the catch is there, but I'm saying, like, the ones where it's just like, all right, you got to break a tackle or spin.
Make somebody miss and then go for
another 20 yards.
Right.
They're, like, almost none of those plays for Marvin Harrison. But, as you mentioned, does all the other things really well. So let me say this, and you tell me if I'm right in what's happening here.
Yep.
Because I think a lot of other people out there are going to have Marvin Harrison, number one, you know, a clear step ahead of every other receiver in this draft class. And we've heard that already. Generational talent people have thrown out there. Best receiver they've scouted in a long time. I think what you're telling me is that they're not necessarily too high on Marvin Harrison. Maybe a little bit. Maybe getting a little hyperbolic there.
Right.
But maybe they're too low on the two guys that you like, Thomas and Nabers. This isn't as much a discussion on what Marvin Harrison lacks, but maybe the rest of the community, you're going to be out of line with the rest of the community because you really, really like what you see from Nabers and Thomas.
That's right. And I think a little bit, listen, and again, you know, I think a little bit's name. And again, I'm a guy that's from a name.
Yeah.
I understand it. I was, you know, number one recruit in high school, coming out, college football, all of that, right? You know, so you know, name, the school he was at, right? The production he's putting on the field. They put out NFL receivers every year. You know, he's kind of like, no shit, he's going to be a top 20 pick for like 3 years here, right? I think the draft community jumps on him because he's just a safe pick, right? He's all of that, okay? So, and like I said, he's awesome. I mean, if I'm playing quarterback and you tell me I got Marvin Anderson Jr., I'm like, hey, sure, no problem. But yeah, the other guys to me are special separation type wide receivers, right? They separate. That to me was ultimately where I went, right? You know, the route running, there's a lot of nuance and good. It's not crisp, like I said, right? You know, does release off the ball really well, but, you know, ultimately doesn't separate as well as guys like I said, Brian Thomas Jr. or Neighbors. He's not that, right? Knows how to use his body. He's natural like his dad in a lot of ways. I love how he can kind of weave through traffic and not break, you know, his stride when he does run after the catch and do all of that, right? But, like, to your point, it's not going to be like he's running really hard, boom, jams his foot in the ground and cuts somewhere else, and a guy's like, whoa, and he falls over and breaks his ankle, and then he runs by people. That's not what he's going to do.
So force missed tackles
right
this year. Brian Thomas had 12. Malik Neighbors had 30, one of the most of any wide receiver
no
out there.
No shit. I mean, yeah.
All season long, Marvin right. Harrison, a guy who caught a bunch of balls, had 1,200 receiving yards, had five all year, five forced missed tackles.
And I would bet like two or three of them were on screens where like he caught the ball and the guy was flying up to try to tackle him for like a 1 or 2 yard loss, and he just made that guy miss and went and got like another few yards, right? They weren't where the other guys were like, yeah, catching an in cut and then stopping and then going, wait, I got to run back this way really fast. Oh, I'm running back this way and I'm turning the corner. I might go the distance. Oh, they pushed me out of the 20. That is to me where, you know, the other guys separate here. But really good player. And
let me ask you this.
And I don't, you know, he's a little overranked, not to his, it's not his fault. Right, you hear me say this all the time. There's too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to this conversation. Sometimes unqualified people make qualifying statements, and then all of a sudden, the whole draft community, every sports show, they all just jump on it. Right, and that's where now Chris Sims looks like she's being a fucking shock jock here because he's not making Marvin Harrison Jr. number one. And no, that's not the case. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But like again. And don't forget what you're going to say, because I know I cut you off. Don't forget. Don't fucking forget, Amon. But the other thing is, too, when I hear top player in the draft, right? Top three player in the draft, or it's Caleb Williams, then Marvin Harrison Jr. Again, when I hear that, I'm expecting to turn on the film and see Calvin Johnson or Randy Moss, who didn't if he didn't have off-the-field issues, right? Or Larry Fitzgerald, or even Ja'Marr Chase. Because with those guys, you turned it on, you went, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. Oh, they're bumping him, he's going to be gone here in a second. He's gone, right? He caught a slant, he got him by a foot, he's gone, right? Those are those guys, right? Who else am I missing? You know, I'm probably missing a few other names.
AJ Green,
I would say him
back
then. Julio Jones, right? I saw Julio Jones run three routes at the Rose Bowl, and I went, he's going to go in the top three. I was like, that's no doubt. That guy looks like that, and he runs and cuts like that? I was like, holy shit. That's who the top three, you know, receiver in the draft is, right? And that's where, again, much respect to Marvin Harrison Jr., a hell of a football player. It's not his fault that he was ranked this high. I just don't think, his explosive freakiness ability is not in the class of those other two guys.
I would guess he's still probably going to go top five,
definitely.
Maybe top 10, definitely.
Well, one of the things I wrote is just like, I wrote...
But to my point that I don't want to forget now, I want to get it out.
Go, get it out.
And you basically answered it, but if a team does take him top five, top 10, you don't think he necessarily deserves that high of a draft spot, but you just mentioned last year he's better than Zay Flowers, and of course
Zay Flowers, than Drake London. So a few years ago, who's number eight?
So it's not going to kill a team by taking Harrison top
definitely
five.
Definitely not. Right? No. Like if the Bears they take Caleb Williams at one, and let's just say somehow maybe Malik Neighbors and Mike and Brian Thomas Jr. go off the board before they pick at number nine, I'm not going to be like, oh, they got stuck with they took Marvin Harrison Jr. at nine. That's crazy. No, not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not. He's a player. There's no doubt about it. These other two guys, I think, are just a little bit more ballers than he is. But, no, he is worthy of that and definitely better than some other guys we've seen picked at, you know, 8 or 7 or 10 or whatever in years past.
Look at this wide receiver room for Ohio State. You had Garrett Wilson. You had Chris Olave. You had Jackson Smith and Jigba. You had Marvin Harrison Jr. You had all those guys there. Still couldn't beat Michigan.
Hail to the victor,
you're such a
valiant.
Jerk.
Wide receiver U is becoming a
it
little
really
bit.
It is. It is. It's a, I mean, it's a special group. You guys every year got receivers, and you usually got a quarterback that can chuck the ball pretty damn good, too. Not you guys. You're not on their team. I don't know why I'm saying that.
You're talking to Buckeye fans
but yeah,
out there.
They do. They have got some big-time players there, as we know. It's Ohio State. Come on. Every year I expect DBs, pass rushers, wide receivers, you know, tackle. Offensive tackle, like I just expect them to have them every year.
Favored to go fourth overall currently to the Cardinals, has been a top five pick in this mock season for over a year
now.
I can
see the Cardinals liking him. I can see that. Again, a safe Monty Ossenfort coming from New England. You know, I think he'll like the lineage. I think he might favor the size. We'll see. You know, be interesting to see. I think this is going to be an interesting conversation. As we go here, again, this is not one where I'm going, ooh, I just think I see it differently than everybody. I think as the real important evaluators get into this, I think you're going to hear as this goes, people are going to go, sure. Hey, it's really close between these three. This is not like, oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. is slam dunk better than these guys. Yeah. Not in my opinion.
The name recognition, though, is a big deal. Because when your job's on the line, you go, I've seen a Marvin Harrison dominate in the NFL.
Right.
And we know his dad's still a big part of his life and coaching him and helping him along, and so he will get better.
Definitely.
As he continues to grow into the football player, he is just your number three wide receiver of 2024.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Now we go into Tier 3. We've got your final two in the top five in the same tier. This is high-end skill sets. So high-end skill sets. Your number four wide receiver of 2024 is
Rome Odunze, Washington, right? Love Rome Odunze. Really do. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, great look, size, silky, smooth, natural, instinctive wide receiver who is in the conversation for best route runner in the draft, certainly, right? Yeah, that's what you're getting here with Rome Odunze. I mean, that's really what you're getting. A guy ready, like day one, he's ready for the NFL. He can play outside receiver, X or Z. You'd probably want him to play Z more than anything, but he can play X, you know, and with his route running ability, he can be a really effective in the slot type of wide receiver as well. That's where I really like him. But natural, instinctive, and does really everything well, Ahmed. I mean, you know, all the things we've kind of talked about with the other guys, adjusting the balls down the football field, back shoulders, all of that. He's incredible in those areas. You know, the body language and route running, snapping it off, sticking your foot in the ground and being precise, right? Getting out of those breaks and separating from people that way. He's good there too. He can separate coming out of breaks and doing all that. That's where I really love him, right? You know, it's the look is great, right? Has a lot of like, you know, I don't even know what you want to say, Davante Adams-ish,
ooh,
right? Type of look and talent to him. And that's where, yeah, he's a real pro. And I think that's the big thing that you got to look at when you're talking about Rome Odunze.
21 years old, turns 22 in June, grew up in Las Vegas, was a standout sprinter, winning state titles in the 200 meter, 4x100 meter. So he was fast even in high school. And then in the Pac-12, first team All-American this past year. He is a projected top 10 pick in drafts right now. And he's winning the GAN race so far.
The GAN race?
Yeah. Hendecagon. He's got the Hendecagon. I couldn't get it out. I was so excited. This is 11-sided, so he beats the Decagon from our guy Brian Thomas. 11-sided. Do we have the Hendecagon? There it is. So he did participate in all these different things. Hand size even is in there. That was the one that he lacks a little bit, so he's got to work on his hands, get them a little longer. But everything else is well above average. His 20-yard shuttle time was elite in the 90th percentile, so the measurables check out.
Yeah, the three cone drills, elite, right? 6.88 at that size is really damn good, right? I mean, he's a player. I mean, he really is. There's no question about that, right? And I think, like, you know, I talked about, right, the natural, the instinctive, right? Can separate out of breaks, out of transition when he's running routes against man-to-man coverage, right? But separate out of breaks and coverage and, hey, he can run the shallow cross and stick his foot in the ground and get back out and accelerate up to top speed pretty quickly. But top speed is still an issue,
yeah,
right? That's where, again, like a little bit like Harrison Jr., and I would say even more so with Rome Odunze, is there's not enough separation. He's not going to blow by you for a 70-yard bomb, right? He got a lot of chances to catch bombs because they dropped back and everybody went deep, and Penix just was like cocked in the ball, going like, which one are you going to take? There's three guys deep. I'm going to throw it to one of these guys. So he did that. But it wasn't like, oh, man, there's guys on him like stick, like glue, right? And he's now pulling away from him. Oh, it's man-to-man. Watch out. It's not that. And that, to me, again, is the element he's missing in his game compared to the other guys, especially the top two guys.
So let's dive into that a little bit, because Hunter Alt 4 says, thoughts on Odunze's very high contested catch percentage. So he was in 68% of his catches were contested catches. Malik Nabers, 47%. Marvin Harrison, 43%. NFL.com Lance Zierlein says, while most receivers look to open separation windows with speed or route running, Odunze seems to relish jump balls and contested catches. Maybe he just prefers that.
Well, he's smart. And he's like, that's why I say instinctive and knows how to play the game. And one, he knows he's not going to run by a lot of people. Mm. So he gets to a point, if he's at X receiver or whatever, he gets off the line of scrimmage, right? And you go, and he goes, I'm not going to be able to run by this guy. So he's got great awareness of, wait, my quarterback's going to look at me, and he's gonna be thinking back shoulder because I haven't got on top of this guy. I haven't separated. So he does that, right? But, like, hey, the contested catch rate and all that, that's great, right? That's great. It's a phenomenal skill he has. But at the same time, I go, the DBs in the NFL are better, right? They're better at playing the ball, too. And, yeah, it's contested a lot because he doesn't run away from people. And that's, to me, you know, again, where he needs a little help with the system, with an offense, right? And that's where I think ultimately he's a Z receiver, a guy that's off the ball. We put him in motion. He's an awesome slot receiver like that. To me, he's Keenan Allen, right? That's who I would say more than – I said Davante Adams before.
Yeah,
Keenan Allen would be more of who I see here in this football player. You know, Davante Adams too, same type of thing, right? But maybe Devontae is even a hair more explosive than I think Rome Odunze is.
All right. We showed you the Hendecagon.
Yeah.
The 11-sided gon. So he was not scared to show his athletic ability. And you talked to him at the combine as well.
Awesome dude.
So here is a little snippet of your interview with Mike and Rome.
You're going to work out.
That's right.
I'm like, I didn't know that until this morning.
Yeah.
Because I thought, like, oh, well, Rome, he's locked. Like, he's right. definitely going to be one of the three first receivers off the right. board. What led to that decision?
Well, to me, I just want to go out there and be able to, you know, compete, not against, you know, not just against all the guys here, but, you know, past generations, generations to come, right? Like, this will be something that I'm sure that'll continue for a long time. So just to be able to compare myself and see where I'm at entering the league, I feel like it's a fun thing to do. As well as, like you said one of the three, right, to go off the board. I want it to be, you know, number
one. You want
to
be one.
I want to be the one to go off the board. So if I have to go out there and continue to prove why I'm the best and, you know, and I have the opportunity to do that, I'm going to do it.
I love that attitude.
He's got all the right attitude.
And Chris Sims looked at your numbers and made you four. Sorry, Rome.
I know. It sucks. It really does.
No, but I love that. I love that attitude for him. And he still could be a top pick here. Franklin Grulin asks you,
yeah,
if you're picking for the Giants, would you take Odunze with the sixth overall pick, draft Michael Penix with your next pick? I'll hang up and listen. So you could get Penix and you could get Rome Odunze
together. Six would be too high for me.
Yeah.
Okay? It would be. And again, you know, when you're talking about receivers in the top 10, to me, there's got to be some real special there. And I know he's a damn good football player. Here's another guy that I wrote down that he kind of reminds me of, and you've brought up this guy's name already twice during this podcast. It's a little Jackson Smith and Jigba, right? Where, you know, out of the break and all that, the acceleration is really good, right? When he's like Jackson Smith and Jigba, a little different where he was like good with the ball in his hand and all of that. And he'd make people miss and separate that way. But like when it came to route running or getting open against man-to-man coverage, he didn't separate all that great. Remember? That's why one of the reasons I made him number two. I was just like, man, Zay Flowers separates from everybody. Jackson Smith and Jigba, it's kind of all yak, or hopefully the play puts me in space, and then I make a play after that, right? Which is cool, don't get me wrong, but it's a little bit more of that, right? And let me just, like, take you into my notebook here, just a little here, word for word. Natural at the position, you heard me say the adjust the ball. Route running looks elite. Can play outside, of course, but he is in a Z. Probably best at Z or in the slot. Reminds me of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Go routes, knows he can't run by you. Looks for back shoulders always. Explosion, acceleration, better when he comes out of breaks. I wish it was better when he was getting off the ball or beating bump man-to-man coverage. You can't just line him up outside and think, ooh, he is going to separate from top NFL CBs. Never really runs away from college CBs. Not Jamar Chase, Tyreek, JJ, GJ Moore. You know, savvy, smooth, natural, instinctive route runner. Needs a little bit of a system and a route running offense to me. That's kind of how I looked at him. The other guys, I think, are clearly all top 15 picks. I think he's probably somewhere 15 to 25 in my world. That's kind of how I look at it.
So still a first rounder.
Definitely a first rounder.
Still a first rounder there. Rome Odunze. You saw him in person. You saw him torch Michigan State. We saw some of the video of it. Eight catches, 180 yards. You really didn't use that in your evaluation.
I didn't even watch
Michigan
that game
State
on film.
Was not that
exactly.
good.
I did not watch that game on film. I was there in person.
I would not have had 180 yards receiving against Michigan State, but probably like 140, 145.
You might have. You definitely would have had your best statistical day against anybody.
Michigan played pretty well against Michigan State as well. As we go to number five, still in tier number three for you, which is in the high-end skill sets tier, your number five wide receiver for 2024 is?
Roman Wilson, Michigan. 5'11", 185, 439, 152. Change of direction ability is really damn good. I don't know, you know. Hey, one of the biggest negatives with him is really just like, damn, I wish they threw the ball more and gave him more chances, because I just think if he was in one of these other offenses, we'd all go, whoa, he's definitely a first-round pick, right? I mean, really good route runner. All I kept saying and what I said to you before the show, I kept watching it going, I feel like I'm watching Steve Smith from back in the day. Steve Smith, there's a Stephon Diggs type of vibe I get from the guy overall, right? But again, another guy where, you know, he might not be as thick as Malik Nabers, but has a body that I like. You know, it's 5'11", 185 at the combine. I think he played in the 190s when he was at Michigan, or at least that's what they led me to believe when I was there in person, right? But, like, route running it rivals the best in the draft in route running, okay? So he's right there with the Romo Dunzes of the world as far as being able to stick the foot in the ground, bursting out of cuts, right? Being really sharp and precise with stuff like that. Also, like a Marvin Harrison Jr. and a Dunze, knows how to, like, lean people off of him, right? You're covering me man-to-man. I'm kind of pushing you this way, but I'm really just pushing this way. So, because, boom, I'm going to hit this way and just get you a little space that way, right? He's really good at all that. He is really sudden and twitchy. I mean, really. He's as close as you get to neighbors as far as, like, off the ball, jitterbug, like, pant the foot in the ground, come back, right? I mean, I know I'm trying to be silly here, and if you're listening, you're going, what the fuck is he doing? Is he having a seizure on the...
They're used to it.
But, yes, he has that type of quickness and jarring quickness to where DBs are like, whoa, he's coming at me fast. Let me get out of here. Oh, no, he put the brakes on. Oh, it's too late. Now he's caught the ball, and he's making you miss, right? So that's where I really like him. And I wrote that. His releases are also in the level of the top guys. When he is at the line of scrimmage, mother freaker gets off bump and runs coverage as good as anybody in the draft. It's right up there. I wrote, in his releases, neighbors, in fact, is maybe the only one better than Wilson as far as getting off the ball, different ways, doing it that way. I talked about the sticking in the foot in the ground. Has inside-outside value. Another guy, too. See, to me, has more outside value than really probably Romo Dunze, you know, because he can just blow by people. He's going to be able to release and go, and it's going to put people, let alone he can really stick his foot in the ground like Rome. But I think he's going to scare people with his ability to, like, oh, no, he's going over the top. He's going deep. I better watch out here, right? So that's where he has that type of an advantage. But I think most likely, you know, he's going to be a star, like, in the slot as a slot wide receiver. Right, with some outside value from time to time, but he can do it all. And then he blocks, and he understands the game. Right?
Team player. The team.
Rips the ball out of the air with his hands.
That was the number one thing. Film study revealed to me that I don't know that I saw one that was a better hands catcher than Roman Wilson.
Right.
He just uses his hands on everything.
Everything.
And the catch radius, which is
really impressive, like, right? It's bigger than the 5'11 size.
Catch it everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere. He plays like he's a 6'2 receiver. You can throw him post down the middle, and J.J. McCarthy did or whatever, and they might have been off target, and he jumps up and gets it or adjusts and does whatever.
The leaping catch with 2 minutes to go in the Rose Bowl against Alabama.
Was insane.
They drove down and scored that touchdown.
That's a tough catch.
That's a catch of legends right there. That'll go down as one of the best
Michigan
catches.
He's running kind of full speed across the field. The ball is high and almost a little behind him, and he has to, like, go up and get it and arches back, and he snatches it out of the ground, comes down, makes a guy miss, and then turns it up the sideline and almost scores, right? So that, to me, he's like reverse, like, you know, how we've talked about, oh, like, what if Justin Herbert played at Alabama? What would that look like? He's like one where I want to go, what would Roman Wilson look like if he played at Washington or something like that?
You think that, and also an NFL national scout, unnamed, according to NFL.com, quote, I don't think most people realize what he would have done in wide open offenses like Ohio State or Washington. He's got rare speed, and you will see it more in the NFL when he's a bigger part of the passing game.
I think so. I mean, again, you know, we talked about with J.J. McCarthy, it was like the least quarterback-friendly offense in football. It's the fucking least wide receiver-friendly offense in football,
too. Do we have the stats? Have we shown those already?
It's not like...
Because Michigan still need to get wide receivers to commit to the school. So we want Roman Wilson to go as high as possible in the draft. Right. It doesn't matter what your stats are. People will find talent. But, yeah, the most he had was just last year, 789 receiving yards for Roman Wilson. I think we also have his measurables that show a elite speed guy. I'm just ripping through graphics right now, guys. Good
keep
luck.
Ripping them. I like
good luck
it.
Back there. But he did show the speed. But look at everything else here, though. A little weird-looking gone for him.
Right.
Because, yeah, height and weight, he's 5'11". Weight's in the 15th percentile. Not a big wingspan, even though he does catch things everywhere.
Yep.
Arm length is small. So there are some concerns athletically if you're looking at that gone and just maybe physically. Maybe not athletically, physically.
The size, that's what it is, right? But I think when you watch the film and then you go, damn, this guy plays a lot stronger than somebody that's 185 pounds. And then you start to go, damn, he's really crafty at the line of scrimmage. people are going to have a hard time getting their hands on him anyways. So screw that. Let alone he's strong, like I said, pound for pound. And then when you look at, like, you know, the 40-yard dash and the 10-yard split time, again, the 1.52 10-yard split, and he'd be one where I would have guessed it was even faster when if you watch film. I don't usually look at those times till after, or at least I've watched about 10 to 15 plays. And then I go, oh, let me make sure what his times were. He would have been one where I would, like, I watched 10 or 15 plays, and I went, I bet you he ran like 1.49 or 1.5 flat, and it was 1.52. But at, like, watching him accelerate and do all that, again, to me, that's where, you know, I really love the player. Has a little bit of that third down running back body, you know, that I like, you know, but can do it all with the ball in his hands. And, you know, has the awesome hands like you talked about. His play strength is great. His yak is really good. His route running is as good as anybody in the draft. He's got incredible hips and feet that are elite. And, yeah, to me, I wrote, you know, he's an end of the first round, 25 to 45. Steve Smith Jr., senior, I should say, is the guy he really reminds me of. And, of course, I got a lot of up-close looks at him in my life.
And there it is.
There it is.
And then there was five. Chris Sims closes the book on his 2024 NFL scout draft rankings, wide receiver, something like that.
What a group.
So I don't know if we have the final graphic yet. I may have. Oh, there it is. Morgan back there. Well done. Mackenzie, Gabby, Kristen. Good job pulling this all together.
A lot of purple.
So you got your purple's tier one.
Purple or blue.
This is going to create waves again. You know this is going to create waves again, Chris.
What's blue? Bluer? Purple's bluer than blue.
Purple's somewhere. I do. It's somewhere in there. It's more blue than red, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not go down that road again. This is going to create waves. That's going to be tweeted out. It's going to be put on your Instagram page, and that's going to get people talking again.
Yep. No, I know. And it's going to give me a lot of negative comments, I'm sure. But, gosh, like I said, first off, I like all five of these guys. I really do. I think all our first round picks, and I know I have Marvin Harrison and Jr., and he's going to be the one that everybody looks at. I know I have him in tier two and is number three. Those other two guys above him are special, special physical specimens and players too, right? They just didn't get the attention, right? But they are really damn good. And in saying that, Marvin Harrison Jr. is still a top 10 or top 12 or top 15 pick for me. There's no doubt about that. So I don't want this to be an indictment on the player, because I know how that can go on social media and everybody could try to turn him against me and everybody against me there. And that's just not the case. I got mad respect for his game.
All right. Just as important as that, your top five are the people who just missed the cut.
Yeah.
Because these are players who are going to really, really help a whole lot of teams next year in the NFL. And so who would you say, we're in NCAA territory right now, who are like the first four out or just on the cusp and almost made it into the top
five? There's a lot of good ones, right? I mean, the first one, Troy Franklin, right? The guy you hear about from Oregon.
Yep.
Okay, right, 6'2", 176 pounds. I'm trying to get to his damn page here.
4.41, 40-yard dash.
Right, there's a lot of good there that I like. He's got great feet, got good loose hips, right? You know, I think the other thing with him is, you know, there's maybe a lack of twitch and quickness sometimes at the top of his route, right? Man coverage doesn't separate a little bit the way you would like and do that. And even though he has great, you know, quicks and good feet, he's not exactly the most sharp route runner, right? There's a lot of steps. He's good at, like, making people miss side to side, or he catches a screen or does all that. But when it comes to, like, run the route, boom, come out, do that, no, there's extra steps involved, right? Let alone the speed's not as, game-breaking as at least I was expecting there, right? But has a body type of, like, a Devontae Smith, Chris Olave, really good football player. I just think he's like, I put 35 to 55. And he reminded me a lot of like Tyler Boyd, right? That's who I look at. Tyler Boyd, the receiver of the Cincinnati Bengals. I believe he was a second round pick out of Pitt, somewhere in there. He might have been third. I might be wrong, but right around that area. But that's who I kind of looked at him as being a player. He's got good shake. I said that, side-to-side quicks, all of that. But he doesn't explode like some of the top-tier guys, you know, let alone he's got a little bit more of a frail build compared to the other guys as well, to where, you know, the playing through the bump and grind and pushiness there is not his expertise.
For me, when I was looking at it, too, it was like hard to separate how much was Bo Nix Nix and how much was Troy Franklin, too, because Bo Nix set him up pretty well with a lot of those deep balls,
nice
too.
Balls, yes.
You mentioned Ricky Pearsall also on there in my film study on him. He had maybe the most insane catch in all of college football. Was that one-handed backhand catch versus Charlotte? Did you see that? And then got like nailed right after
it.
Yeah,
I remember it.
I was like, that play alone, I was like, all right, that's a second rounder.
He and, well, we're going to have one other guy we're going to talk about too that I think had the catch of the year. That's definitely one of them that's up there. Pearsall, I mean, he's the guy, again, you know, Cooper Kupp, Adam Thielen, whatever. That's what he looks like to me, right? It's not going to blow you away, right? Like, he ran 4.41 at the combine, right? Everybody runs 4.4 now. So it's like not as impressive anymore. I will say on film, like, I'm not sure I saw 4.41. It was damn good. But you talk about, like, cutting on a dime, setting up the DB, right? Body language to make the guy think I'm going this way. I mean, that to me was where he was really, really special, let alone he's bigger human being than I thought he was. You know, 6'1", 190, right? He can play a little bit more of a physical brand than I expected. I guess I expected total jitterbug here with that guy. Yeah. And what I saw more is a guy that was like, oh, no, we got inside-outside ability here, right? Might be best in the slot, but you're not going to be like, oh, man, he's outside. We can't throw to him. No, he's going to be able to scare people enough with his size and his route running and his speed. But, yeah, when I looked at him, I kind of felt like it was a Adam Thielen, Alec Pierce, you know, from the Indianapolis Colts, sure, coming out of Cincy. That type of player, right? You know, and one of the things I wrote at the end is history tells me this kind of guy will get even better in the NFL. Really good quicks, route runner, yak, can do it all. And again, because of the size of the human being and his structure of his body, the physical part of the game, he is not affected by that.
How about your two Texas guys?
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy does not make your Robin Hood, even though he broke the record of the fastest man in combine history.
It's just straight speed, right? I think that's the big thing. And it's impressive, and it's certainly a role for that type of guy. But that's what it is. It's not as, you know, nuanced route running, you know, and – believe it or not, like, there's not a ton of yak. I mean, if it's a straight line, it's gone, right? But it's not like there's never like, ooh, I broke this guy's ankle, I ran here, ooh, I made another guy miss, and then I took off and cut across the field. And all, like, it's not that. It's a little bit more of a straight liner. And I think between that and, you know, the size and all of that as well, yeah, he's, again, a guy that certainly can have a role, but I don't think he's, like, drafted in the – top two rounds, definitely not. You know, maybe as you get to the end of three and four, I think that's where I finally see Xavier Worthy.
So you liked his teammate, Adonai Mitchell from Texas, a little bit more.
It's now Adonai's tough here in that he's a little bit potential based, okay? He's a potential based because of his size, his look, all of that stuff is like what you want, right? When you turn on the film, you go, ooh, I like the way this guy looks, right? He's pigeon-toed. He's got thick legs, right? You're thinking, oh, okay, we're onto something here. But, you know, like as you got to go and watch it more and more, I don't think he's nearly as fast as his combine numbers. He does not separate like some of the top guys we've talked about, right? You know, I write my notes, I go, yeah, I'm starting to question about, you know, explosion, you know, getting off the ball, out of breaks. There's not a ton of there. I do like he's got good wiggle in his hips and stuff like that, to where it shows me there's potential to become a route runner, but there's not a lot of suddenness to his route running, I mean, right? There's no urgency off the line of scrimmage. Sometimes there's no changing or urgency and explosion at the top of the route, so just to get that little extra, let me get you to turn your hips because you think I'm going somewhere, and then I put the brakes on. There's none of that. It's a little too all the same speed, methodical. For a guy that's 6'2", 205, and ran 4.34, he goes down on contact immediately and doesn't really do much after the catch. You know, Rob probably will be overdrafted because of the measurables, but has a little work to do as far as, you know, becoming a complete wide receiver.
Thomas Reagan says to you, love the thought of Adonai Mitchell or Keon Coleman on Kansas City, but lots of people talk about both of them not trying when they know the ball isn't coming their way. How does this go into an evaluation? So Keon Coleman also on your list. Did you notice any of that, of giving up on a play when... It's not coming their way? Those are out of the norm?
Those are, to me, like things that are a little too nitpicky at times, right? Where I just go, you know, listen, I could show you other star receivers here, and they know the ball is going over there, and they're giving you, you know, 50% or 70% over here, but you're not nitpicking at them, right? So,
yeah.
You know, it does go on. You know, is it to a point where it's concerning? It wasn't to me. It's not. Now, I really like Keon Coleman, like, a lot, okay? The problem with Keon Coleman is just his 40 time and his speed overall.
So get this. It was really weird.
Yeah.
So he had a 40 time of 4.61 seconds.
Yep.
That's not good.
Yep.
But when he was running the gauntlet,
right,
he was the fastest player through the gauntlet, apparently. Reached a top speed of 20 miles an hour during the gauntlet drill at the combine, the fastest speed by any receiver over the last two seasons.
I'm not surprised by that, because for as big as he is, and I wish there was better top end speed, right, he can accelerate and he can really stick his foot in the ground, like really stick his foot in the ground, like can make people miss about as good as anybody in the draft at receiver, where you're like, whoa, he's running to the sidelines and he just jams his foot and the guy goes flying by and he cuts and makes a move, right? One of the guys I wrote that he reminds me of is Anquan Boldin, right? Remember Anquan Boldin?
Yeah.
And Anquan Boldin was incredible at sticking his foot in the ground and making people miss and running routes. I like all of this from our man Keon Coleman. I think it's all there, let alone he's got one of the, you know, best physical elements as far as just the size. And I would say Ricky Pearsall, you say, had the catch of the year. This guy also had one down the middle that I would say was like up there with anybody I've ever seen in college football.
Versus Syracuse.
It
go
was
back
Syracuse.
And look at
is that what it was? It was incredible. It really was. But, you know, let me just, before I, his size and strength are incredible. He has got great change of direction movements. He can make people miss in the open field, has great feet, and definitely has twitchiness to him, right? To make you he can shake and make you think he's going one way and come out the other way. Incredible ball skills. Incredible hands. Great ability to adjust the ball. Can go up and get it. Knows how to use the body and box out. 50-50 balls with this guy is almost going to be impossible to stop him, right? You know, for his size, it is a great route runner. Sudden, right? Good burst in and out of transition, you know. And, of course, no issues with contact. I mean, he's arguably, to me, maybe the strongest receiver in the whole draft, right? You know, I really think he could be a big-time slot receiver, right? It sounds weird to say that about a guy that's 6'3", 215, right? But I really look at him and go, yeah, you know, like top-end speed, not great, but the burst, acceleration, twitch are all really good, and he's got the special ball skills on top of it. I really look at him and go, I feel like he's an Anquan Boldin or a Michael Thomas from the New Orleans Saints. It's that guy, you know. And I was a guy, again, Michael Thomas, I wasn't huge on him, and I even when he was leading the NFL in receiving, I was going, you know, hey, he's really good, but he's not a top three receiver in football for me. He's in the slot. He's catching 6- and 7-yard slants and things like that all game, and there's great value to that. But he wasn't ever beating anybody deep or catching a ball and running for 70 yards or doing all that.
Super effective in that
offense,
though.
Super effective. That's where Keon Coleman, I think, is good. If he can find the right offense and right spot, he will be able to work the middle of the field to death.
And his blocking in the run game apparently stood out to me because I noted that here. And
he's a
so that
beast.
Goes against him maybe not caring about not getting the ball. It's like he wanted to spring his teammates open, especially when the ball was going his way. So you have one more here.
Yep. Who is that? I forget who I got. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, 23 years old, 6'1", 221.
I mean, you know I like freaks, and this guy's freak. I mean, it's not perfect from route running. This is a little bit more of your specimen weapon type who needs a little work, right, at being a receiver. But you see enough to go, wait, he can become a pretty good route runner. But it's the physical, you know, tools and ability that just kind of jump off. I mean, first off, he's the most dense, thick wide receiver in the draft. I mean, his neck and his shoulders.
Body dense.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, he's...
What if Xavier's listening? He's just like, he's super dense. Like, what?
He's
like,
super country. Have you heard him talk?
Mentally?
It's hilarious when you hear him talk.
No.
I mean, he is as country as it gets, right? Like, kind of that Randy Marsh twang. And he's like, I'm just going to run good routes. And yeah, he's
Every
got
team
that.
Needs one of those.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, like... dense as far as physical body, like an A.J. Brown or a Debo Samuel type of guy, right? Powerful. I mean, like an H-back or a tight end in some ways, right? Runs well. Power runner, powerful strides, pulls away from defenders with the ball in his hand. Has another gear with the ball in his hand where, you know, he'll catch a 6 or 7 yard route, break an arm tackle and turn up the sidelines, and all of a sudden you go, Oh shit. Nobody's going to catch him. He's going to outrun everybody, right? He can really open it up. You know, always good yak, right? You know, his running, he's big and clunky, right? But man, he can run and not afraid of contact at all. And all of, you know, all of like the route running after I saw him a little bit was a little better than I expected for a big clunky guy, right? Always good yak. Anything physical, the kid's good. Don't worry. Back shoulders, 50-50 balls. He overpowers, right? He muscles DB every time. You know, he shows better quicks with the ball in his hands than he does as a route runner. But that to me is where I try to piece things together. Like T. Higgins was like that. T. Higgins, I would go, man, he doesn't shake like this when he runs a route, but then he gets the ball and he shakes some guy and they breaks his ankles. And that always was to me like, I've seen enough to know he can do it. Yeah. He's just got to learn to incorporate it in the route running department, right? So that's where I think that's going to be okay. I feel like I can live with that. You know, the releases and nuance of route running is needed. He's still raw there, right? But he's just truly an X wide receiver, physical specimen. Put him outside, get man to man. He runs by him. See ya. You throw a back shoulder, he out muscles him. You throw him a slant route, the guy falls off him. He runs for another 40 yards. That's what kind of guy we're talking about here, right? He's going to be better in the NFL and college when he has real NFL quarterbacks thrown to him, because the go routes, the back shoulders, and all that are always just a little more on target. The timing, the rhythm of all that, so much more practiced. The jump balls, the pop slants over the middle like a Debo Samuel, right? That's all up his alley.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, what? I'll catch a pop slant. I don't care. It's Fred Warner over there. He's gonna be like, I'm as big as Fred Warner. I'll take him on, right? He's that kind of guy. So, you know, he needs to learn the receiver position a little bit, needs to learn how to run routes a little bit better, but he's a specimen with big time upside. He's a weapon, and I think he's somewhere in the, you know, mid to late second round as a pick.
So
there.
you'd be good if you're a homie out there and your team takes one of these receivers in the honorable mention in the second round. You're good with that?
Yeah, I am. I think all these guys are worthy of that for sure. There's probably even other guys that are worthy of that as
so
well.
So you're ready for my two guys?
Yeah,
they haven't even been mentioned. Like last year, we both like Michael Wilson.
Sure.
I had Tank Dell last year. My two guys. Can you guess who my most favorite guys watching? I like their games. We haven't even talked about them
well,
yet.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, see, I didn't want to make this too long because I could have had other honorable mentions.
Oh, okay, so then you'll jump on the bandwagon when I say
are you going with Ladd?
I'm not going with Ladd, although Ladd we could talk about. It's not Jalen Polk. My first guy, Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky.
I hear you.
His run after the catch ability, physical, knocks dudes down. Don't know how fast he is, but I love his desire.
That's the question.
His desire for contact, seeks it out, can fumble when fighting for too many yards is the negative, can make contested catches. Tough to say about this competition that he played against.
That's right.
But this dude looks like Debo Samuel to me.
He's got a similar build to the guy we just talked about, Xavier Leggett, right?
Yeah.
It's a similar build. It's a lesser version of that. I'm with you in the body, the physicality, right? I think there's a little, though, of like, yeah, some of the big plays he had, I'm like, I don't know if that would have been a big play against Michigan or Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
And I worry about the separation, but he's interesting, and he's a weapon type. He is a weapon type. I mean, you see him line up a tailback. He does a little bit of everything that way, right? So I hear he's intriguing. Okay, so that's one. Now who's the other one?
My number two, and he's not going to be your cup of tea because his measurables are 5'8" and a half.
Okay, that's okay.
190 pounds.
Okay.
Malik Washington out of Virginia.
Yep.
So he led college football in missed tackles forced. Does not go down at first contact.
No, he does not.
Does show some breakaway speed when he can open it up. Love his balance, his physical run after the catch. One of the top yards after contact guys in the draft this year. And I go here, I think he might be my favorite guy in the draft. Wish he was taller than 5'8".
He is a long list of smaller guys where I go, like we talked about at the start, where I go, I mean, he could be awesome next year. He could have 70 catches and close to 1,000 yards right away.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like him, Jacob Cowing from Arizona, Anthony Gold from Oregon State, Jermaine Burton from Bama, they all fit the guy you're talking about where I go, there's the role. They're going to be good in the NFL. There's a spot for these guys, right? But you know, there's not the elite trait to make him a top five, right? And again, maybe, you know, as we always know, not everybody in the top five ends up being a top five when they get out there and play NFL football. You know, some of it's, yeah, projection and, ooh, this guy has an elite trait that we think is special. Oh, but damn, we got him here in camp and, damn, there's seven other things that are just not even close to elite. Oh, right. No, we messed up. But, yeah, these kind of guys, I hear you, Amon. And that's where I get into this and go, shit, I don't know how many receivers are going to be drafted. You know, like I said, I probably watched 20, maybe a little more than that, and I feel like every one of them is going to be drafted. That's for sure.
Teams are really thinking about it because I'll look at my Detroit Lions.
Right.
And Josh Reynolds was super productive for him last year outside of the NFC Championship game, which I'm trying to forget about that game. But he's out there. I mean, the Lions haven't been desperate to bring him back because maybe, I don't know, maybe they're thinking there's so much depth in wide receivers. I don't know if they want to take one in the first or second round, but.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds is the guy that's like, he'll be out there and let's see what we get. And then if we don't get anything, we'll sign Josh Reynolds back, right? And he might even be a little less money than what he's asking for right now because now he realizes there's no seats at any table and he's just got to take what he gets. And you're going to get him back and go, damn, Josh Reynolds is really good, right? But I think that's where, hey, this between this popularity of this sport, right, the 7-on-7, the longevity in which receivers can play, the money they're making, it's just they're growing on trees everywhere. And it doesn't matter where I go. I mean, it doesn't matter if I go to my son's 7-on-7 and stuff. Like most of the kids, they want to be receivers. That's what they want to be. They want to look cool with their gloves and have all the swag and be the fast Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase type of guy. That's what everybody's trying to be.
That was my son, right? 9. One of the first things he wanted once he became a football player.
Right.
He's like, well, I got to get receiver's gloves. You don't play receiver.
Yeah. You're a freaky athlete. Yeah. It's cool. You get to look cool. And I don't have to like block Fred Warner in the middle of the field on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
It's a plus. It definitely is. I might be able to play this for a long time, Dad. But, hey, I hope everybody enjoyed it. You know we're going to continue with this process. We got cornerbacks coming up next. I think we're probably going to do it on Monday. I don't know if I'm going to get done with the whole group by Wednesday. I'm a little behind, per the usual, in my draft process. That's what I do. But, again, please send in the questions. Anything else you want to dive into as far as these receivers, back to the quarterbacks, whatever, we're going to figure out our formula for the Wednesday pod, but you know where to find us. Subscribe, rate, review. You know where I am on social media, whether it be X or Instagram. And if you're just feeling extra hateful and you want to crap all over me, don't forget where you can find Amon. Crap on him,
oh,
too.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to crap on me, crap on Amon. It's just fair is fair. Okay, good. He can be crapped on. He told you. All right, everybody. Be good. Amon, as always, thanks so much for driving the ship.
Yep.
Thanks for being a film watcher.
Damn. I'm
if
digging
I ever
in.
Get that GM job, I might have to move you up to the front office.
There we go.
Damn. You're not,
assistant
no, you're
regional
not a media consultant
scout.
Now you're getting no scouting. All right, everybody. Be good. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Clap it up.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.